This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Farting is a part. Farting is a part. Farting is a part of life.
All right.
Farting is a part. Farting is a part. Farting is a part of life. You can fart over there. Fart over where? You can fart most anywhere.
Hey.
Farting is a part. Farting is a part. Farting is a part of life. Whew. It's getting really stinky in here.
It's so stinky in here.
But oh well, cause farting is a part of life.
Farting is a part.
Okay, enough of that.
They got it wrong, by the way. Farting isn't a part of life. Farting is life.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Way better said.
Yeah.
How are you, Mr. Sanchez?
Good, Mr. Khan. How are you? Everything going to be all right?
Okay. Everything's going to be okay, all right?
All right.
Yeah. Everything's cool, man. Everything's cool. Just plugging along here.
Yeah, how has your week been up to here?
Until now? How's my life till now?
God damn it, I'm getting everything wrong by a word.
Everything's good, man. I've had enough of this heat for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's been nice and like in the 80s here.
Yeah, and I live in the IE, so yesterday it was 100, and I think it's going to be in the high 90s today. So,
but you have a swimming pool.
I do, but I don't really use it. Like, the kids love it. You know, my wife loves it. My wife grew up with a pool. I just see it as another chore I have to do, something else I have to take care of. When gear breaks down, I have to repair it. It's just an extra expense for me.
Yeah.
So that's not like, you know.
You don't subscribe to the Adam Carolla bathing routine of that's how you jump in early in the morning and that's how you get clean.
That doesn't make sense to me because you need soap, right? Like you wouldn't feel so fresh and so clean. And by the way, I don't know, maybe he has a saltwater pool.
Maybe, because the chlorine makes you feel icky when you come out.
Absolutely. Yeah. You need to shower after you get out of the pool. Mine's a chlorine one. I don't know if I've never been in a saltwater one, so
that's
maybe it's
fun.
Different.
It's just soft water.
I mean, so I don't know. But I did want to give a quick shout out to all the people that came out to the Hollywood Park Casino.
Oh, yeah.
All the B-holes didn't show up in droves, assholes.
Listen, it's a preseason game. That was
and I'm not Mr. Sports, but everybody was saying, it was preseason. But
like the people who did come came to hang out with us, which was awesome. So thank you guys. The rest of you, you're a-holes. You're not b-holes.
Yeah.
You're a-holes.
And you guys missed out because we still had a stack of tickets to give away. But we did want to give you the heads up that we have a couple more events coming up at the Hollywood Park Casino on Monday, September 9th for Monday Night Football. I believe that's going to be the very first Monday Night Football of this year, yeah?
Yeah.
And then we're also going to return on Sunday, September 15th. And I believe that's going to be for the Rams-Saints game. I don't know what time that is.
So. It'll probably be 10 a.m. or 1 a.m.
Yeah,
or 1 p.m., I mean.
Okay, so we'll be hanging out. And I got to be honest, it was fun.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Football's fun, man.
It was cool. And, we had the beers, we had the food, and I would play music, and we would give away stuff and have shenanigans when there was no gameplay.
Yeah.
Beer Mug was on the microphone. Beer Mug's not here, by the way, just because he's doing all the K-Rock sticker hits. The Billie Eilish limited edition K-Rock sticker is out now, so he's on his way to a Hot Topic somewhere near you. I don't know exactly where.
Probably, Fullerton, yeah.
in Fullerton. So he's making the rounds there. And, you know, we'll talk to him about how that experience is, because I know one thing, that Billie Eilish fans are crazy.
They're nuts for her.
So and I get it. And I really admire her as an artist, but the level of fandom,
and,
right?
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you're not a Billie Eilish fan, you don't like her. I've heard from a lot of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, you will know more about this. When's the last time that an artist crossed over so much?
That big?
Yeah.
Maybe like a Linkin Park? Is that too far back?
But Linkin Park wasn't played on pop stations, like, right off the bat?
But really? Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, Linkin Park.
Yeah, you would know. I wouldn't really know. Okay. So Linkin Park. Man, that is a while, though.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
It was, In the End. That album was their second album. So that was a while ago.
But also, that was one song.
Yeah.
Like, you hear a ton of Billie Eilish songs on Amp and on K-Rock, and it's just... And the different, Bean's a fan. So
Bean's a uber fan, yeah, by the way. Loves her.
And I have a buddy of mine. He's kind of, by the look at him, you would like, oh, this guy likes like old school music or whatever. And maybe like a little bit of hip hop.
Like, I'm your puppet.
Yeah.
That kind of
music? Absolutely, yeah. And he loves Billie Eilish. I hopped into his truck and he was bumping Billie Eilish. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I like her. I wouldn't consider myself a huge fan.
You're not a Billie head?
I'm not a Billie head, yeah. But I think that she's extreme. There's no denying she's extremely talented.
I dig her singles.
Yeah.
But Phineas is the dude, man. He is
the production
man.
Guy.
Yeah, her brother.
I'm a fan of
his production. Oh, dude, he's the man.
The production on her records is amazing. It's lit, fam. Yeah, it's next level. And I really appreciate it.
So this contest is pretty cool, because all you have to do is take a photo of you and the sticker, uploaded to krock.com, and dude, you could win a private concert. I don't care who it is. I don't want a private concert with anybody.
Absolutely.
Let's come to my house and party.
Yeah, and you get a Honda Fit, by the way.
A
Honda Fit.
They said a Conda Fit.
A Conda Fit? No, a Honda Fit.
So. Anaconda don't want none.
Which is cool, man.
Yeah, you get a car, so that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, so that's where Beer Mug is going to be. He's going to be at the Hot Topic in Fullerton today. And by all accounts, upload a picture of yourself. If you don't have 20 friends,
invite the B team.
Yeah, invite us to go.
We'll go. Yeah, and you get a meet and greet with her. So, but if you don't care, then you're like, someone's daughter will care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, a super cool prize. And I don't see any other radio station doing this kind of thing. That's the one thing about working at this station, is that a lot of our promotions are really next level.
They're pretty badass.
They're pretty badass because you don't see this or hear about any of this at Amp Radio or Kiss FM. And, you know, not trying to throw shade, but I think that K-Rock has always been on the next level kind of thing, where you can have Incubus at your house.
Yeah, and here's a tip. I mean, we do a bunch of promotions, and there's a lot that doesn't even make the air. Like you can win TVs and trips to see the UFC in, you know, Vegas and stuff like that, that they don't even make the air. But if you just go to krock.com, enter into everything, you'll win something, dude. It's like,
and by the way,
it's a good way to win things.
You're absolutely right.
Disneyland tickets,
and a lot of people are always come, because I'm the same way.
Yeah,
I'd be like, I'm not gonna enter. What are my chances of winning?
Yeah,
actually, online, your chances are way better than calling in.
Yes,
because people think like I'm thinking. Yeah. I might have don't have a shot. Your chances are pretty good online.
Yeah,
they are pretty good.
Yeah, because think about all the people that are listening can call. Not everyone's gonna jump on the computer and do that extra step. Just do it. And there's plenty of contests, and there's something for everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. So this B-Team episode will be sans Beer Mug, because he's taking care of business.
So it'll be good.
I'm just kidding. How you been, dude?
I've been good, man. It was a busy week. I'm learning something. I've done this for 2 weeks in a row, and I'm stupid.
Okay.
I'm going out on weekdays.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're not as young as we used to be.
No, so it wasn't planned.
Okay.
It was like on Tuesday I went out, and I met some friends for dinner. And it was just like, I haven't seen them in a while.
Okay.
And And they're like, hey, just come out, meet us for dinner. So I go at 7 o'clock, which is normal dinner time.
Right.
We have food.
Not for me. I'm eating dinner at 5.
Oh, by the way, dinner, that's early for me. I normally eat dinner at 9.
Oh, but you don't go to sleep till
like midnight or 1. Yeah.
Right.
But so I go meet up for dinner, and then we're like, oh, another friend's in town. Let's just go for a quick drink and just catch up. She's from Vegas, so let's catch up with her.
Right.
And next thing you know, it's midnight. We're going back to my apartment. I hop on my computer, do some work, and then at 1:30, I'm like, all right, guys, I got to go to bed.
And you still have company over,
I have company over. Like, yeah. You guys stay. Krista was talking and hosting. Yeah. I was like, you guys stay all you want. Be as loud as you want. I don't care because I could fall asleep. Just don't worry. So me and Rhonda retire to bed. I go to bed. I woke up Wednesday. My stomach was hurting. And I usually have a strong stomach.
Yeah.
And because I eat some spicy food.
Yeah.
Which, some spicy Thai food, which I normally don't eat.
Mm.
And
that'll do it for sure.
Yeah. So I was in pain. I was sluggish all day. Ugh. I played basketball. I sucked playing basketball. And it was just because I went out that day before.
Yeah. Well, at least it didn't stop you from your, regular routine. A lot of people, they get all pussy-like. Like, I'm the same way like you.
Yeah. No, I'll power through.
Yeah. You have to power through because, it was like, you know what? Bet on me because I chose to go out.
Exactly.
But I'm still going to power through and do my things. I'm not going to be a little bit, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. You know? And then one last thing is, why can't people drive? Two things. Like, I drive down Olympic Boulevard here, and on Tuesday, there was a freaking fire at the Beverly Hills oil thingy.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own oil. What's that called? The thing that goes up and down,
like the drill, or it's not a drill.
It's the thing that looks like a horse.
It's like an oil rig.
Yeah,
or it's an oil.
It's something.
Spigot. That thing that goes up and down. It looks like a hammer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they have their own because they have an oil spot in there. And it caught fire.
Oh, my God.
So, dude, it normally takes me 15 minutes to get home. It took me an hour to get home.
Ouch.
On a street.
Wow.
On a street.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, there was 2 accidents on the road. They can't drive on Olympic Boulevard. People can't drive. They chance it to cut across and then smash. And they're never like little fender benders. They're like, oh my God, that car got destroyed. The car was on the sidewalk in front of someone's house.
Yeah, I think it
I was
really,
like, dude.
A lot has to do with how overpopulated the city is and how condensed the traffic is. Because you go anywhere else, you're not going to have that many accidents, I think, because they're not that many cars on the road at the same time. You know what I mean?
But here's where I trip out is like, we're in traffic. How are you getting this high speed for this collision that's destroying your cars?
Yeah. Some people don't know how to drive.
Just punching it. Be better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're gearing up for a singles party. This is Kevin's party bus to Vegas singles party.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you about the parties and the amount of work that you put into it. Now, for you, does promotion take care of most of the work when you get there?
Thank God for promo.
Yeah?
Yeah. So they take care of it, man.
Yeah. So,
We have a cool promo guy here, Seki, and he sets everything up. He has a good relationship with Planet Hollywood. So he'll set up this party at a sports bar, like the mixer, to get everyone to meet each other, even though they're on the bus. But
so this is like Friday night.
Yeah. So normally we're little lazy asses and we'll fly.
Yeah.
But since it's just Kevin and Beer Mug and myself and Christine going this time, we're going to hop on the bus and we're going to party with people on the bus. So we'll get to know them.
Good luck, man.
Yeah. I know what I'm going to do. I know how I'm going to attack it. So
how?
I'm going to have a drink every section of the freeway. There's sections of the freeway where there's landmarks.
Okay.
So
one drink there, time it out.
Yeah, one until before the 15.
Yeah.
And then once we're on the 15, once we get out of Apple Valley, I can have another one. And then Baker, another one.
Yeah.
And then State Line, another one. And then it's on. So that's 4 drinks, man, that I have planned for the bus ride.
Cool.
Now, I'll probably won't be as fun as everyone else, but hey, I'll last the night. But they set it up, so we'll have a party in the sports to meet everyone and kind of get ready for the night. And it's fun. It's open bar. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's a totally, unique experience because, everybody's a K-Rock Kevin Bean fan. And everybody that I've met, which has been, my experience has definitely been limited because I've only been to a handful of singles parties, most of them not in Vegas. The ones that I've been able to attend were local here.
Yeah.
But everybody is super nice.
Yeah.
Everybody's super cool, super chill. Occasionally, you get the occasional, you know, douchebag. Or,
yeah,
you know,
but everyone, like, literally, like, points him out, and then they separate from him. Yeah, they're
absolutely.
Like, okay, that guy, is, you go away. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
So don't be that guy if you're coming.
The craziest experience that I've had at a singles party is I was DJing, and this was, what was that place on top of the...
Spider Club.
The Spider Club. It was at the Spider Club, and I was DJing there, and there was people... Like getting lap dances, like right, like you know, you know, there was couches by the dance floor, and I'm like, what is happening? And I'm pretty sure, like one couple was boning.
Dude, you remember On the Rocks?
Oh,
when we had the On the Rocks and we had the confession booth.
Yeah, I do remember.
Someone boned in there, and it's like, how do you bone? Well, I know how you bone someone when you just met them, like you know, 20 minutes ago.
You know what?
But go for it,
yeah,
man! Like,
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What makes these fun.
Yeah, I'm not that type of. I've never been that type of person, but I mean, it's to each his own, man.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, people are. You know, I think now more than ever, people are just down to have fun and you know, not be serious, especially like. For me, and this is, you know, I mean, this will tell you something about me. It's like, I don't really understand the entire Tinder thing. Tinder was an app. Now it's more of a dating app. But at first, Dave, tell me if I'm wrong, was you swipe right and then it's a hookup to bone. Yeah or no?
Well, it was always a dating site. And it was a dating site with in quotes because people would be like, yeah, I'm interested in you. And then they just hook up and bone.
Yeah,
it's not really dating, you know. Like,
right.
That's the purpose,
right?
That still maintain is the purpose, but a lot of people use it just to be like, oh, you're interested in me, I'm interested in you, let's have sex, and then
that's crazy.
And then they're like,
me.
You're not that interesting after all. So.
Yeah, you're a good bone, but see ya.
Yeah, but see ya next.
Which
on
is
to the next?
Yeah,
one.
It's insane, man. It's insane.
Yeah.
Well, you know, good for people. Keep it up, people. I want to live in a world where people are like that and having fun.
Listen,
you know, just
as
don't
long
spread
as,
disease and don't get anybody pregnant. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
And as long as it's consensual. Then
absolutely.
You know, if you're both down with it, don't be a jerk and lead someone on. Just be cool. Be cooly fruit.
Be cooly fruit.
Yeah.
Well said.
Come along now, take a ride with the BT. Let's get together and take a look behind the scenes. Talking about Kevin and Bean. Come on, let's start the show. Everybody grab your Vaseline. The B Team. Yeah. The B Team. The B Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B Team.
Baby.
That's right. This is the B Team. This is episode 78, if you're counting. My name is DJ Omar Khan, Imaging Director of the Kevin and Bean Show. Alongside me, we have Dave, the King of Mexico, producer of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
It was your birthday this week.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, send Omar some dick pics for his birthday present.
Please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't. Or do. Whatever.
Omar at krock.com.
I'm not a big birthday guy.
Neither am I. That's why it was awesome. I asked you, hey, what do you want for your birthday? And you're like, nothing. Well,
yeah.
Perfect. Done.
But I will say the one thing, the cool thing for me is my kids, you know, they make, you know, little birthday cards. And
completely different.
They treat it like it's
completely
a big
different.
Deal. That makes, you know, any father feel good. It's cute because for them, it's like a huge thing, you know, and they're like trying to be secretive to surprise me and stuff. So, yeah, it was cool. They, you know, took me out to dinner last night and...
Outback or...
We went to the Yard House because, you know, they have a pretty good selection of beer.
Of course they do. They have all of the... Did you get a yard?
I got a yard. But I've never eaten at the Yard House. I've only gone and, you know, kind of do a little pre-party at the Yard House and
then move on. Yeah.
Exactly. And the food wasn't good, Dave.
It wasn't.
I did not enjoy the Yard House food.
I was about to say, it's okay.
Really?
Because I've had some lobster dish there that was pretty good. And then I had like some salads that were not good. And
some
burgers that were
My kids had some pizza and it was okay. And then we had some spinach dip for an appetizer and it was okay. But I ordered a steak, and the steak was just trash.
Wow, yeah, you're not going to get a steak.
It was trash.
I would get bar food there, like, you know, chicken tenders or, chicken steaks or whatever.
Originally, I told my wife that I want to go to Fleming's because, you know, I knew I'm going to get a good steak there. However, there's nothing for my kids to eat at Fleming's. So I want them to be able to eat
and
enjoy.
They don't enjoy Brussels sprouts with with bacon in them?
I know. I looked at the menu and I was like, they're not going to have like risotto. You know, they're not going to eat this crap.
It's pretty good, man.
Know? No, I trust me. We would eat it, you know, but
Is that when you go, hey, babysitters, here are my kids. Wifey's going to take me out for dinner.
Well, my babysitter, as you know, is my mother-in-law. Yeah. So it's her birthday today.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so they went along with us. We did kind of like a combo birthday birthday dinner thing. And yeah, we're coming to a crossroads, Dave, because our babysitter is busier like now, you know, so we have to come up with a backup plan because, you know, I'm excited for this Cure concert coming up in at the end of this month in Pasadena, and they're unavailable.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to reach out to some close friends who we trust, and, you know, we're going to drop them off there. So for that specific time, we're okay.
Yeah.
But in the future, we're going to have to, you know, I mean, interview people or figure something out. You know, it, as scary as it is, I think that we're probably going to end up doing is putting cameras all over the house.
Yeah.
And, dude, call me paranoid, call me immature or whatever.
It's your kids, dude. It's safety, my kids. Safety is first.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're gonna interview some people. We're going to set up cameras, and I'm going to say, be specific. Okay, I want you in these rooms because these rooms have cameras. And
but then
it.
Put cameras in other rooms that they don't know about.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah. So it is what it is, and I
and you can't just board them. Like you can't board your kids.
What do you mean board them? Like just
like take them to a kennel where
no, can't do that.
You can't where they play with other kids.
No. And so I've also come to the realization, like in recent weeks, that most people are good.
Yeah.
You know, most people I want to say are good. However, for me and my experiences, Dave, I think I've had it more bad experiences with people and strangers.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's why my guard is up so much, you know? So
can't be up too much, man.
Yeah.
It's your kids.
Yeah, I guess. But so Mia has a best friend, Michaela. And Michaela's parents came over for a birthday party, and then her mom came over to take Michaela and Mia swimming at her house. And then the third time, her grandma came over and just dropped Michaela off. And they have Michaela's has two older sisters, so the parents kind of already been through this.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of talk to them and kind of get in their head, like, how are you cool? Not that we're bad people, because I think we're good people.
Yeah, but you don't know.
You don't really know what's going to happen behind closed doors.
Well, I mean, she's been with you guys a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she probably got a good read from you.
Which is cool, but you don't know. It's scary.
I mean, have you met your wife, though? Like,
you
she's
know, I know.
Really friendly and trusting.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. But still, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. It's a difficult thing for me anyway, you know? And you understand that because, you know, it's my child.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm potentially leaving with, you know, a pedophile or worse, a kidnapper. That's where my mind goes, Dave.
Yeah, well.
My mind goes to the worst possible thing, you know? And it bugs me. It's hard for me. So, yeah, we're going to have to deal with that.
So you're going to have to hire a babysitter.
I think we're going to have to figure it out. Yeah, figure it out. But, yeah, I think cameras is kind of where I'm going to go, where I could get a little bit of peace of mind, you know? So
just make sure you hire a hot one if you do, because they're less likely to do anything bad,
you know,
because then you're going to remember what they look like all the time.
I'm going to tell my wife, hey, Dave said this.
Yeah.
And I agree.
It's facts. Facts.
Yeah. All right. So on this B-Team episode, we're going to go through some afros, and I found some really old school audio of Jimmy and Adam Carolla interviewing Scott Weiland at a Weenie Roast for no apparent reason. We'll listen to it. It's really, really strange. And it's like Jimmy and Adam are putting on like some sort of characters. Like, I don't know in what I don't know in what world this happened, but it's really strange. And God bless the great Scott Weiland for putting up with these a-holes. And I really want to say in this episode, we're going to highlight the radio a-hole, because we're also going to cover Keanu Reeves' interview, where Bean is a tremendous a-hole to him. And it was something that the b-holes were kind of clamoring for, and I've been looking for the audio under Keanu.
Yeah.
And I could never find it because it was under Dogstar,
his band.
So he had a band in the 90s called, I don't know if he still has it. He might.
No, I doubt
So yeah, it was called Dogstar. So the interview was labeled Dogstar, and I just happened to stumble across it. And b-holes, you guys are going to be surprised of how much of a dick Bean was to, by all accounts, one of the nicest people in Hollywood.
I can't wait, because I have only heard clips of it. I've only heard the clips that Bean always plays.
Dude,
I've never heard the full interview.
It's going to floor you, and it's really going to kind of put things into perspective of why these artists just have to put up with the radio a-hole because they want their stuff promoted.
Yeah.
So they just have to bite their lip. It's crazy. It's crazy. So we're going to go through that. And then in anticipation of the Pasadena Daydream Festival at the end of this month, we're going to drop in a Robert Smith interview from 1995 from the Weenie Roast, the time the Cure headlined that show. And we're also going to play for the best of Bean the time he almost died in Norway, which is my first time listening to it. It's a very entertaining story.
Speaking of Robert Smith, should we tell the story of the party?
Oh, we could do that on the next one.
All right, cool.
We're already running at 24 minutes. It's crazy. You know, it's so funny, Dave, because
you know why? No interruption here.
Oh. You know what's funny, Dave, is that before this show, I was trying to like brainstorm about what we could talk about.
Yeah.
And remember when we first started the podcast, if it was a half hour long, we'd be like, oh, we got 30 minutes.
Good sesh, guys.
I'm still paranoid. Once the microphones crack, I'm like really like, you know, I still get butterflies in my stomach. I'm like, I don't know if we're going to be able to come up with any content.
That's what's great about podcasting, because it doesn't matter.
I guess. But I mean, we have a certain chemistry, I think, also. Yeah. We've known each other for so long. So it really just feels like we're just shooting the shit. Right. So let's get into your Afro calls. And yeah, definitely we want to cover that story, because that was probably one of the low points in my entire life, where you got to party with Robert Smith and I was passed out drunk just outside the hotel room. And I wake up to like 17 voicemails of
we'll get to it.
It was insane.
I wish you still had those voicemails.
Jesus Christ, man. It was crazy. Insane. All right. First Afro call. You could call the Afro call. Afro call?
Whoa.
You could call the Afro line 24 hours a day. The number is 520-AFRO.
323. 520-AFRO.
Hey, Omar. June 20th, and I'm on poop number 479. Maybe I'll hit 1,000 this year.
Ooh.
You think you poop that much?
I don't. It's only been like 200 days or something.
How many days do you poop? How many times a day do you poop?
Once.
Just once?
Yeah, unless it was Tuesday after Thai food, and I went like four times.
So, for me, mostly a once, but sometimes two. Like, you know, I'm gonna say mostly once, but at least 2 days out of the week I go twice.
Okay.
Yeah.
What up, B team? Prolapse, just checking in, and wanted to see if you guys could do a little Bean guessing the price of a pool table. I think it was on The Price is Right, and he guesses a little high. I don't know if you guys remember that, but that was hilarious. Anyway, hope you guys are doing great. Squish.
Listen, B-holes, if you guys are going to request some audio, you got to give me a little bit more. It's like, oh, that one time they were talking about The Price is Right, he guessed a little high on a pool table. I have nowhere to go with that.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Was it a showbiz story? Was it just, I don't know.
So call back B-hole with a little bit more information. And trust me, I'm more than happy to go through this audio, because your suggestions are key, because I think if somebody wants to hear it, then other B-holes will enjoy that audio,
or
too.
Or it'll re-jog someone's memory of, oh, this was great.
Hey, guys, it's Caleb. You guys were discussing Omar taking his children to the hospital, and Dave asked Omar if they still stick the thermometer up the kid's butt. Yes, they do. My 1.5-year-old goes to the hospital at least once every 3 months because his mom thinks that there's something wrong with him when there's nothing wrong with him, which is perfectly normal. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, he gets probed like bimonthly. So yeah, just wanted to go ahead and share that with you guys. But Dave, that is still something that happens, and no, the babies do not like it at all.
Hey, man, you got to check what kind of, like, you know, weirdo doctor you're going to, because that's never happened to any of my kids. And, like, especially with my first kid.
Yeah.
She would go, hachoo. Oh, we got to go to the hospital. It's like, yeah, you know what I mean?
I mean, don't they have these things now where they just put something on their forehead and it tells the temperature, and they're like, all right, that's it.
Yes.
Or something in their ear.
Absolutely, Dave. They have new technology, so I don't
know. So no more butthole for the kids.
Not for my kids anyway. So that kid, I mean, yeah, I think you need to get, you know, talk to your doctor, dude.
Like, you need to get some new equipment,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, B-team. This is Mario, the B-hole in Texas. Ralph just said on his show that he got laid one day on his birthday. It was a radio spot. It was a remote spot. And, my God, if you could find that, that would be awesome. But I doubt it, because he said that she got paged. So it wasn't even before cellular phones. But I would love to hear that.
Squish.
Squish. Yeah.
Farmer's Market.
You remember this? Oh, tell me the details, Dave, because I vaguely remember this. It was his birthday.
It was his birthday, and he was it holed up in a room?
It was in a room somewhere.
And we talked to him from the farmer's market, and then I think we solicited for a girl to go have sex with him.
And someone,
and someone showed up, and he had sex.
It was crazy. Ralph, by the way, is probably, you know, I mean, he was a wild man. I mean, talk about somebody who's like very sexually free. You know what I mean? Like Ralph was, you know.
Yeah, back in the day, he was a swinger. He admitted it.
For me, it was weird because I've never known anybody like that.
Yeah.
You know, Ralph was the first person I was like, he was so sexually free, and it was cool. It was very cool, but also, it wasn't like a put on. That was just Ralph.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it takes a certain person to live that lifestyle.
And it was cool because that was enough for me. Like, I was like, all right, I'm glad he lives like that, so I don't have to.
Yeah,
like,
for
I don't
sure.
know why, like, it mattered to me.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, cool, he takes care of that part of my life.
So. Yeah, but that was back in the day where everything was recorded on DATs, and I tried to look for it on Kevin to Bean Archive and our little archives on our hard drives, and I couldn't find any audio.
Nothing?
I couldn't find any audio. Oof. So if you were able, or any b-holes able to kind of like, you know, remember maybe the month, then I could go back and then maybe look at the replay dats and pull out the dats.
His birthday's in November, so.
Maybe give me a year? Yeah, if we come up with a year.
1962.
Okay. yeah. And then, you know, I could research and maybe find it.
Hey, it'll be Jim. The podcast from Kevin and Bean, June 19th, Shia LaBeouf says something, and I'm guessing Kevin has to hit his dump button, because Bean says, hey, by the way, Shia, that's really not something that you're going to be saying anymore. What did he say? Do you guys still have that original clip? Is it recorded, or does anybody know what he said? Because I would like to know. Thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, we record everything in what we call the program feed, and the program feed doesn't cut anything off. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, when Kevin hits the dump button, it takes 4 seconds out.
Yeah.
Just clips it out.
In the past, it's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes it doesn't make sense. But, yeah, I'll play for you what happens so you know exactly what was said.
It's always great to catch up with you, Shia, because you are never boring. You always have a lot of interesting things going on. And I would imagine with all the other stuff you do, the last thing I would expect you to do would be to co-found an organization like this Sloss and Rec. What's it all about? What's the backstory?
So what it's about is we're trying to make theater vital again, right? We're trying to have kids line up for theater the way they do for cell phones or any other bullshit. You know, it's theater's kind of dead in this country and quite old and white and retired.
So there you go.
Hey, B-Team, it's Caleb again with the Shia LaBeouf interview. He said another thing that had to get dumped, and everybody's like, hey, you really can't be saying that on air. What else did he say? I'm going to continue listening, and if he says something else, I'll call you guys back again pointlessly. Have a great day.
All right, and yeah, I pulled the other clip where he said he has a potty mouth.
He did have a potty mouth.
If you're able to say, hey, did you see that cat video? And the dude across from you who you don't know has also seen that cat video. That connection is that God reach that I'm talking about. This way of connecting with big, huge groups is this God thing I'm talking about, and it is through irony. You can't just hit people over the head with God. They won't listen to you. You can't hit people over the head with love. They won't listen to you. The way towards that stuff is through cat videos and bullshit.
That's a word you really can't use anymore.
And Caleb was a big liar because Shia went ahead and he cussed again, and Caleb didn't call back.
Caleb.
This is the third time Kevin and me had to dump.
But also, let me apologize on air to Jerry O'Connell, who I mad dogged like a motherfucking street hard.
You can't
hard.
Say that either, Shia.
You can't say that.
Sorry.
Dave, what's your take on Shia? What's your read on him?
He's an interesting dude, man.
No, that yeah, but I get, but is it what is it? I don't know. Something for me that it seems like it's a put on and it's not authentic. Like, this is just my read.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like an act.
I think he was a certain type of person when he was younger, and now he's trying to make up for that. So now he's doing all this crazy thing, but he's an artist.
Right.
Dude, I want to see his movie Peanut Butter Falcon so much, dude. It looks so good.
Now, is this the one with the actor, the lead actor's...
It has Down syndrome.
Right.
Yeah. It looks so good with Dakota Johnson and her not gap tooth.
Mm.
But then he also has a movie where he wrote, I think he wrote and directed it, but it's called Honey Boy.
Yeah.
And that's the one where he's telling the story of him, himself, but he's playing his dad in the movie.
Okay.
So that one looks fascinating too.
That's interesting.
And he's just a weird, like, fascinating guy. Like, he does all these art installations. He did the We Will Not Defeat Us when President Trump was elected. He did that for a while until violence started happening at these. So he moved to different places and he got bummed about that. You know, he did the thing that Jensen apologized for. You know, he did. He's just a weird guy.
Yeah, I
I think just... something different in his mind.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I can't say. Yeah, I guess it's cool because I don't know if it's cool or not. You
know, it may not be cool to you. Yeah, but, you know, yeah. But I find it fascinating.
If you're an artist,
not everyone gets your art.
It's not right exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Hey there, this message is for the B team. This is Brandon calling. Just wanted to know the origin of the running joke. It seems saying, "Oh, we're not on the air yet." Just wondering where that came from, who started it, and. That's all. Hopefully I get to hear back. At this rate, it's probably going to be October. All right, thanks. Bye.
It's not October. It's August, by the way.
Jerk.
Where did that come from, Dave? I think it's just a funny thing. I don't know who started it, but it is funny because...
It is funny because I don't know exactly when we started like doing it consistently, but...
It sounds like... that definitely, to me anyway, sounds like something Bean said... And then Kevin kind of picked up on it.
Yeah.
And
some of it, what some of it has to do with is safe harbor.
Mm.
So at 6 o'clock is when we can't cuss anymore.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, you have to talk, you know, that's where FCC law really kicks in from 6 to 10. So I think since we're on from 5:30 to 6, like that's when we're live. It's like practice half hour. And it became a joke of, well, none of this matters because this is practice until we go live at 6.
Well, there you go. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, this is for the B team.
That's
awesome. So June 21st, I open up the app and I'm like, okay, let me see if these a-holes put a podcast together this week.
You're b-holes.
Yeah, you a-holes didn't get your S together, did you? Squish.
Listen.
Wait, she's complaining about a podcast from June that we were...
By the way... probably like skipped a week or something.
No, the guys were off. And remember, we had a rushed, best of.
Oh, right.
So
there was
no way in hell we were recording that week.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, we have our regular lives.
We have a job.
and also, Dave can attest to this, is that the reason we do this is because, like, now we're having fun. You know, we have b-holes, and you guys dig what we're doing. If we didn't have that, I don't think Dave and I, this podcast would be dead by now.
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't, I mean, let's be honest. I don't think we're the type of people that like our egos stroked. Sure, it's nice when we get positive.
We're not look at me people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we just do it because we think it's entertaining for you. And by all accounts, the people that, you know, have, you know, emailed us or meet us in person love what we do. And that's what keeps me going for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, put it this way. It's like, I don't like look at me so much that I don't even tweet about the episode until like Monday or Tuesday.
When do I ever tweet about
never.
It?
Never. Like, you know,
yeah,
it's like
exactly.
We're bad at promoting ourselves because we don't want to be
bad.
Like, look at me. And I feel terrible. Like, I feel bad. I feel icky when I'm posting on Kevin and Bean's social stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, it's the B team, you know? And
yeah,
we're part of their show and it's still icky, but.
I think it's a necessary evil.
And I think we just have fun with it. So.
For sure.
And like you said, the B holes have been coming out and you know, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah. And definitely makes us feel good for sure. That without a doubt, like, you know, anybody who gets appreciated for doing something, you know, it feels good. So but chill out, man. Sometimes we're not going to get to do an episode. You know,
yo, this is for the B team podcast and so yeah, you guys should definitely do a live show. Most breweries have like availabilities for like stand up, like open mic or whatever. And that'd be dope if you did one, like, in, like, North L.A. area, like Eagle Rock, Glendale.
Very specific.
Whatever area. Highland Park, all that good because that's where I live.
Potty
and that'd be tight. But, yeah, you guys are tight, dude. I'd bring my girl. I'd probably drink too many IPAs, and they'd be sick. Anyways, this is your boy Rambo, and this is not Bill Colvin.
Did he say it was Rambo?
Yeah, he's Rambo.
He's Rambo, not Hulk Hogan.
No, his name's Rambo, yeah.
For real? Do you think it's his real name? Or is he doing a joke? Like, this is Rambo, not Hulk Hogan.
No, he always calls, his name is Rambo. I mean, that's what he goes by anyway.
I don't know if it's a nickname,
but
Rambo.
Yeah, he always goes by Rambo. But let's plan on, Dave, and let's say here that we're going to take Beer Mug's idea and we are going to do some sort of live show for the 100th episode, whenever that is.
And that'll probably be the last episode, too.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Just like the one we do live is going to be the last one.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know what? B-holes, if you guys have anywhere interesting that, you know, could...
If you own a spot.
Yeah. In a perfect world, we would have 50 B-holes show up. I mean, that would be a lot. Right? Yeah. So that would be cool. And for the 100th episode, I think we could get a well-adjusted mic to show up. And then we could probably get definitely going to get Sam the Armenian Comedian down there.
For
to do
sure.
And
I could probably get Brad Williams to come by.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, it's definitely not going to be a show where we're going to play clips. So it's more going to be actually like Brad and well-adjusted Mike are going to be the perfect kind of guests because we could talk to them about different experiences. And Brad, definitely somebody who's a friend of the show and how he humped Kevin's leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, hump Lux's leg, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure we could get some like old interns to come by.
Totally. So, yeah. So, we're going to plan that for our 100th episode. But, yeah, if you have a spot that might suit us well,
yeah.
Hey, email me, omar@krock.com or Dave, DJ nope. Sanchez.
Omar.
Okay.
Just omar email me.
Okay. Next call.
Hey, B-Team and Omar and Dave and my hero, Beer Mug.
Oh, too bad. This is funny that Beer Mug's not here for this.
All right. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Got him. Up and I'm trying to get back to my car. I'm walking there. It's not too far. Just want to call you guys. Love the B team. Hate that. The best of whatever this weekend. Oh, it's just before 4th of July because you guys aren't going to hear this until like 3 months from now or whatever.
Right,
anyways, I just wanted you guys to know Beer Mug is my hero. Love you, Beer Mug.
Look at that. Beer Mug's number one fan right here.
And he won't be able to hear it because he won't listen to this episode.
Hey, B-Team. Oh. It's Ponce again. I just realized that the last call I made, I probably cursed a little more than I was supposed to. So I'm still walking, trying to get to my car. I already forgot what I said last time. Oh, yeah. Omar, fucking hot mother effer. Oh, see, I didn't curse this time. And King, the Dave of Mexico.
The Dave of Mexico.
I forgot what I said about you. It was probably something nice. And Beer Mug is my hero. I love that guy. That guy is Hold on. I'll call back.
I love that Beer Mug's not here for this,
nope.
By the way.
Hey.
Calls back.
B-Team. Finally made it to my car. It wasn't that far, but I'm so out of shape. Anyways, I'll try not to curse this time. Omar, I've seen your picture. Pretty hot, dude. Dave, King of Mexico. Your girlfriend is way too hot for you, man.
That's true.
Like, how did you score that? Like, you must either have a huge personality or, I don't know, dude. I can't imagine it's anything else. And Beer Mug. Beer Mug.
This guy loves Beer Mug.
You're my hero, dude. I love you, Beer Mug, so much. You're my depression hero. I mean, you guys probably hear this a lot. And granted, I am a little drunk. But when you're drunk, that's when the truth comes out. And so, Beer Mug, I wish I was like you. I wish I was carefree like you. And I'm sure you had your down days and like days where you feel like crap, but the way you come across on the radio, it's just like you're carefree and like you'll go with any joke and then you laugh about it and it makes people like me where we're having where we're having a horrible day and you make fun of yourself and you laugh. Like I said, you're my depression hero. I love you so much, Beer Mug. And B-Team, I love you guys. Make sure you guys keep doing those podcasts every week because we need them. So thank you guys. Love you guys.
Listen, he's not wrong about Beer Mug. Beer Mug, like we said, I think we were talking in the last podcast, he has that likability.
He does.
He has that likability, and he is very carefree, and he rolls with the punches on the air. Off the air, it might be a little different, but for the most part, I mean, Beer Mug, but I mean, I love Beer Mug. Who doesn't love Beer Mug?
Kevin.
Yeah.
Other than that,
when they're working,
in the studio, not so much.
In the studio, yeah, they tend to butt heads sometimes. But other than that, I love you too, Beer Mug.
Me team. I promise this is gonna be the last one.
I
just want to clarify that when I call Beer Mug my depression hero, I just want to make sure I clarify that he doesn't depress me. That when I'm in depression, he's a hero that gets me out of my depression. Huh. So I just want to clarify that. So, because I don't know, like, a hero like he depresses me. Completely opposite.
Well, that guy sounds completely different when he's sober.
He does. Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, and I hear his voice.
Oh, what the hell?
No.
Well, continue. it brings me out. Because he's always so happy. Even when he's pissed, he's happy. So, Muggos for life. Love you, Beer Mug.
Okay, if that guy really loves Muggos, he should get a Muggos for life tattoo.
Oh, or a picture, or a tattoo of his face.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be outrageous.
Remember when that guy got a picture of well-adjusted Mike's face? What the heck? That was a thing.
Yeah, still on it.
I mean, he's a good-looking guy, but still, right?
I know.
Jeez. Hey, what up, B-Team? It's T-Hole Drew. I just got a message before the show aired to the whole company Drew line. Well, I can't wait to go ahead and hear the podcast. And yeah, call back. I never answer that line, but I always check it. Do you know the number? I don't. Later. Swish.
Yeah, that was us calling the Drew line. I want to give out the Drew line number, but
I just threw away that paper too.
Here, I can find it.
I'm going to call a Drew line today.
Yeah. Behold, call the Drew line. Drew line. And by the way, Drew, well, I'm going to save it because I want to surprise the Behold with it. Drew did a special production piece for us. It's freaking amazing. Call the Drew line. It's 904-878-DREW. So that's 904-878-3739. Call Drew and, just call a fellow B-hole.
Yeah.
You know, show a fellow B-hole some love.
Hey, Omar, it's June 27th, and I just hit my 500th poop for the year.
Whoa.
Okay.
Which puts me halfway to my goal. Still got a long way to go. We can do this, and I thank you for your support.
You can do it, man.
There's no way he jumped up 24 poops from those two calls.
Yeah, maybe he has something wrong with his. You know what I mean?
What does he count as a poop? Like a full one, or like he's counting each individual piece? Because if it's each individual,
it's gotta be full. Dave, I know you have more information about this because we left here on Friday with a big question mark because some weird stuff happened over the air, and it just happened that I caught it by chance because I was editing something.
Yeah.
So let's get into a so that happened, and I don't think we're gonna get to the bottom of anything, but this is interesting for sure.
So that happened.
Yeah, so what happens on the Kevin and Bean show is towards the tail end of the show, sometimes Kevin and Bean, not sometimes, every day they tell me what they want to replay in the 5 a.m. hour. From 5 to 5:30, we do a couple of replays from the previous day's show. So they were like, oh, Omar, we're going to do this and this. So I take the audio, I rip it from this program called The Profiler, and I just happen to put the cursor where there was a commercial stop set.
This is by chance, too.
Just by chance. Like, if I didn't find this by chance, we wouldn't have known this happened. Because nobody got emails, right, Dave?
No, I didn't see a tweet. I didn't hear anything.
Which is bizarre, because usually our listeners are really quick to point out that we're messing up.
Yeah.
Right? So this is the audio that I labeled Mug Sucks, by the way. But I think it's not a Mug's issue, but listen to this.
Want to know when your favorite concerts go on sale? The helpful SoCal Honda dealers encourage you to log on to KROQ.
So
there's a commercial going.
Well, Wakanda Forever was a So That Happened as well.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get into that, but yeah, that's a So What Happened all its own. So what happened was is that Jensen was doing his wrap-up on Friday, and he wanted to drop in Bean saying Wakanda Forever, but Ali was over it. So he was just like, hey, Bean, could you just recut this line so I could put it in the song so it'll be clean? So Muggs goes in there. He's just like, hey, yeah, we could do it right now. So he throws things. By all accounts, you talked to Muggs, right?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he didn't even know that that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went to engineering, you know, and asked all the questions, like, yo, how could this happen? And according to engineering, that can't happen. Because there was no possible, unless he potted up the recording
and
hit play and put it on the air, that should not happen. Everything Beer Mug was saying was correct, and the way we recorded the stuff off air, there was no possible way that could have happened. And it shouldn't have happened. And so it wasn't Muggs' fault. It was a freak accident where it was recording into the Vox Pro, but somehow it came out on air because there's a bus that where it's the recording bus, right?
Oh, no,
one that I'm on, right, where when I use the speaker, it automatically goes on the air.
Yeah.
So Rick said that, or one of our engineers saying that maybe something got crossed up.
Like a glitch?
A glitch where, because that was a recording of it. That wasn't a playback.
Right.
So that there might have been a glitch with that bus that aired that.
So, and by the way, B-holes, the reason this is scary is because sometimes, like, say if I have Kevin Bean record a promo, sometimes, you know, they're throwing F-bombs, you know?
Yeah, and we mess with each other and we'll be like, blah, like F-bomb or
absolutely.
C-word or something.
Totally. And, you know, we're just trying to have fun. And, we, you know, obviously, when we're not on the air, you know, we're a little bit more R-rated, you know?
Yeah,
it's the fun show. But it's spectacular. Like,
listen,
go for it,
Bean.
Go for it, Bean.
SoCal Honda dealers encourage Wakanda you to log
forever.
On to
Wakanda
yeah,
forever.
I mean, like, that's
scary.
That's very scary.
Very scary.
And I was very concerned that no one heard it. So, and it made me wonder, like, did it actually air?
Yeah.
Because not one person. Like, remember when it happened a couple of weeks ago when Bean was playing a drop, asshole?
Yeah.
And it went over the song.
Yeah.
Like, that was a mistake that Chip had.
Right.
But people heard it and were like, oh, I want the asshole remix.
So
like,
weird
you know,
that nobody
so
emailed.
So no one heard it, no one emailed. Yeah, it's funny anyways.
Yeah, no, totally funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so back in the day, Keanu Reeves, by all accounts now, one of the nicest, most generous, gives to charity all the time. You know, he's just the nicest dude in Hollywood. Was on the Kevin and Bean show via satellite, I come to find out. Okay. So that adds another element of dickiness to what Bean did here.
Yeah.
He was in a band called Dogstar. And all these bands, like, I think we had, did we have Russell Crowe on for his?
We did. 30 odd foots of grunt.
Yeah.
Who so, I've seen in concert, by the way.
Okay, yeah. So basically, we have these bands on because, okay, the dude is, what's his name again?
Who?
The guy I just mentioned, but I forgot his name now.
Russell Crowe?
Russell Crowe.
Oh.
How do I forget that so
I mean,
soon?
We had Dennis Quaid. I know that, right?
Jesus.
We had Dennis Quaid for his show and Gary Sinise and, you know.
So it's just because they're superstars, right?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I mean, they're famous and they're interesting people. We
Michael Chiklis and his band.
Yeah, perfect example, you know. So we have them on to talk about their projects just because, you know, they're Keanu Reeves. And at this point, I don't know how big of a star. This is post-Matrix, Dave, do you think?
No, this is pre-Matrix.
Oh, this is pre-Matrix.
Yeah, this is pre-Matrix, probably post-Bill and Ted's.
Oh, yeah, it has to be post-Bill and Ted's for sure.
But this is Dracula, I think,
okay.
too.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
this
yeah,
is just
right.
like over Dracula.
So Kevin and Bean, I don't know if they have the intention. I think by the sound of it, it sounds like they went in with the intention of being mean, it was going to be mean to Keanu Reeves.
You think so?
Well, you know, since you haven't heard the audio, I'm going to let you be the judge.
All right.
But a part of me does because of how it ends.
Okay.
So this is just a clip of how the interview begins. And by all accounts, this is just a normal start to any interview.
All right. On the satellite from
from Los Angeles. All the way from Los Angeles. Is that where you guys are?
Culver City.
We have the band Dogstar that many of you have heard of on the satellite right now. Let's say good morning first to Brett Domros. Brett, you're
okay, so then...
All right, hold on. First of all, it's weird that... Why did they have to say on satellite?
I don't know.
Like,
yeah.
That was a thing back then, like live via satellite, and you're like, who cares?
Now they wouldn't mention it.
Yeah, now it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
All right, so it sounds good.
Sounds normal, right? Yeah. So, you know, they go on to kind of like, you know, introduce the band and kind of like who does what, and I guess in this band, Keanu played bass on this on this band. So let's hear the next clip.
We got Rob on the drums. Rob Mailhouse, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
And where'd you come from? What was your story?
I came...
Like, already. Like, that's not the Bean of today. That just sounds like he's already... Or maybe is Bean in a bad mood? What do you think, Dave?
Right there. It sounds like he did it. He doesn't want to interview them.
Yeah.
So maybe he just... Maybe they just wanted to... Because this is before my time.
Yeah.
This is way before our time.
Yeah, totally.
So maybe they just wanted to speak with Keanu, and it was one of those, oh, no, the guys have to. Everybody has to be there. So he throws out these questions like, what do you do? It's just so to include everybody, just so they could get to Keanu.
Yeah. All right. So, it continues.
And where'd you come from? What was your story?
I've been in Los Angeles. I've known Keanu for like 6 years. We've been together for a while, but I'm originally from back east.
Rob, when you say you've been together for a while, what exactly does that mean?
Well,
here we go.
Is this Kevin or Bean?
It's Kevin.
Listen, we've been together for a long time.
That's
what I
thought.
It's just, what can I say?
I would imagine you just hang out with Rob, too. Rob, we'd hang out with Keanu just to get the chicks, just to get the leftovers. The ones that he doesn't physically have the time or sperm for.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. That's funny.
And then we've got...
We got our extra sperm
time
here.
Time or sperm.
And now we've got our friend on the base, Keanu Reeves. Keanu, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
We've gotten a lot of enjoyment from you over the years. I just want you to know you've been a very popular topic on the Kevin and Bean Show for many years.
Yes.
Take that with reservation, though, Keanu.
You think Oasis is tough?
Well, as long as you brought some laughter to the world.
Right.
Why are you in this band, Keanu?
By the way, all right.
Already there,
but yeah,
they're being dicks to
him,
and he's being cool, like
super cool.
He's already going, okay, look, as
this
long
is
as,
how it's gonna go,
yeah. And if as long as you're bringing some laughter, if you're at my expense, sure, whatever.
By the way, these are like radio a-holes because they have the power because you know, Dogstar wants a promotion.
Yeah, who said Oasis is you thought Oasis was tough?
I don't know.
Because it sounds like someone was ready to combat them.
You think Oasis is tough?
Well, as long as you brought some laughter.
One of the band
world.
Members, right. I think. Why?
So I wonder if they were ready. Like, I wonder if they were ready to combat him.
Like, somebody gave him the heads up that Kevin and Bean have been dicks to Keanu Reeves on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, made fun of him.
He just told him that, you know, we've had to expense at you.
Yeah.
But saying that you thought Oasis was tough, that sounds like they're ready to be dicks to back to Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
To the world.
Right.
Why are you in this band, Keanu?
Dick question.
Why am I in this band? Yeah. I enjoy playing bass, to play and to perform, and that's about it.
Yeah. Many people believe, I'm one of them, that you are the worst actor of your generation.
Oh, my God.
Like,
not even a, like,
he's,
all right.
He's not even, like, you know, massaging him. There's no foreplay.
And there's nothing about the band.
Nothing.
Straight to a right hook.
Jesus Louises, man.
Many people believe, I'm one of them, that you are the worst actor of your generation. Is this some way to wash
have
the
you seen
bad...
By the way, why would Keanu say, ah, excellent, in that Bill and Ted's voice? You know?
Because that's probably who he was back then.
Is this some way to wash
have
the
bad... Have you seen River's Edge? Have you seen Tune In Tomorrow or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
You know what I saw? I saw Dracula. I saw Much Ado About Nothing.
And I saw Little Buddha.
I've seen Dracula, Much Ado About Nothing, and Little Buddha. That's all I've seen. I gotta be honest. Maybe it's not your best work.
Yo, you didn't like Little Buddha?
Well, I didn't think you were good in it.
Like, damn, dude.
Dude, B is brutal. Okay.
Super brutal.
So now hearing like the full interview, he was setting it up to say, is this band to change your image?
He goes on to say, like, hey, you're not a good actor. Like, is this, you know, a backup for that? Check it out.
I liked the movie. I liked the movie okay. I just didn't think you were
good.
In it.
That's all.
Very nice.
But the reason I ask is, does that have anything to do with why you thought you better start shopping for a new skill?
Jeez Louise is right.
Oh, my God.
He's just relentless, you know? Incredibly mean.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Yeah, my mother said, you know, Kevin doesn't like your acting. You better get another job. Why don't you try playing some music? There's a good f***ing career call.
It's Bean, by the way. I'm going to be honest, because that's the kind of person I am. The album is pretty good.
Ah, thank you.
Hey, all right. Thank you very much, sir.
I mean, it's not that I have anything against you personally. I mean, this album is pretty good. The I bought it.
I didn't take it personally.
I bought it for... Yeah.
You're an...
Like, listen, I don't know if you hear this, but you hear somebody like going, like, man, like...
Like, yeah, like, that sucks.
Yeah, listen.
I mean, this album is pretty good. The
right there. Like, somebody from the band is like really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this is unbelievable. If you're in if you're in a band and you get invited to be on somebody's radio show, you don't really get, expect to get treated like this, right?
No one. I mean, I don't think you go on anybody's show just to be like, you suck. Like,
yeah.
You're terrible. It's not as awful as I thought it was going to be.
We got to get in Bean's head. Like, what was he thinking? Like, because the Bean now, there's no way Bean was going to be like
well,
this.
It sounded like he was going to go into one of his famous backhanded compliments.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was just...
Straight. It just continued downfall.
Just being a dick.
Pretty good. The I bought it.
I didn't take it personally.
I bought it for... Yeah.
You're an amazing man if you didn't take that personally. You are amazing. Yeah.
That is impressive.
I need to get me some of
that. Actually, he doesn't.
I need to get me some of that.
Brad, I'm going to tell you, you're a hell of a vocalist.
Hey, thanks.
And it's a better album than I expected it was going to be because it's easy to...
Jesus.
So, yeah. So, during...
By the way, it's just a little thing that I noticed is, did you notice Keanu's the only one mic'd?
Who's
really on the mic?
Yeah.
So, everyone's in the background. So, I mean, maybe they knew that Keanu is the reason why everyone's speaking to them.
Yeah.
But, man.
To go at him so hard and... Yeah, so much.
And then backhand the band, like, it's not that bad. You're actually really good.
Yeah, so the interview continues, and you don't hear, it's like radio silence from Keanu. Like, you know.
So now, he's just like, oh, these guys.
Exactly, yeah. You know. So the other band members answer Bean's questions and stuff, and they, for a couple of minutes, just do kind of a straightforward interview, you know, without Bean digging on Keanu. And here's the next clip.
So let's say that it goes really, really terrifically, and this band takes off, and you guys are the next Pearl Jam, and everybody wants your, blah, 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 fame, stardom, the whole deal, and you guys are the next...
Sperm.
Sperm, right. What, Keanu, is that it for acting?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Oh, my God.
Like, you hear,
this
like
mean.
Like, Keanu's pissed, but he doesn't, he's so nice that he's not going to retaliate or say anything because he's just, sounds like a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's just being ambushed on the air.
Yeah.
And this is brutal.
This is tough.
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate. All right. Gentlemen, thanks thanks for spending some time with us. Good good luck with the project. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you kindly.
You bet. See you guys later.
Even at the very end, he says, thank you kindly.
Kindly, yeah.
So they disconnect from the ISDN.
The satellite.
And this is what kind of leads me to believe that they went in with the intention of being mean. Okay. Because of how this ends, okay?
All right.
He's just, he is that bad.
You need an award, Bean.
You are my idol.
No, I don't want anyone to miss. Hold on a second here.
Bean, everybody.
Bean,
hooray!
Hold on a second. I don't want anyone to misinterpret this. This wasn't one of those things where, hey, how can I be mean?
That was so brutal.
But I am telling you that personally, I'm offended when I see him on the screen. That's all.
You wouldn't be honest if you didn't say otherwise.
That's right. And I'm not trying to just slam him because the record's okay. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you suck, you have no talent. The record's okay. You just shouldn't be acting. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Wow. They
celebrated that terribleness, man. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, I think till this day, though, Bean regrets that.
No,
that.
He does.
He does,
absolutely,
right?
Does.
Yeah, he regrets that interview and the way he went at him.
By the way, he should.
Yeah.
But how... And, but, you know, you hear, like, everybody...
My idol.
Oh, you know, the lightning there.
Are my idol.
Yeah. No, I don't want anyone to miss... Hold on a second.
I don't know, man. That very, very uncomfortable that, right?
It's very tough. It was tough to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, I felt bad for him.
Totally.
And, you know, the guys have done a couple of other interviews like that, like with Anna Nicole and with the Scientology people. But now they won't do that. They won't have anyone on the show if they don't like them. Because they say, why have them on just to tell them otherwise,
No, for sure.
Yeah, which is a good thing. It's I'm
absolutely
glad, because then I have to be the one after going, hey, so
do you think it was one of those things where maybe that's it was, you know, a certain time in radio and that's what people did?
I don't know.
I wonder. Yeah. You know, it would be interesting to get Bean's side.
I wonder if it was like, hey, this will make the news, or you know what? We have a chance to talk to him. It's going to be funny to hear me say how bad he is.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, interesting.
But I got to give Bean credit for having balls to say it, even though he's in a different studio miles and,
yes,
and miles away.
I don't think he would have done it if he was in person. Oh, yeah,
I know he would have.
Yeah,
he would have.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Well.
Oof.
Yeah. It was tough, huh?
That was
tough. But, oh, there you go, B-holes. I know a lot of people were, you know, asking for the origin of that.
I don't think I've ever heard that complete.
Yeah.
That full interview.
It's very different hearing it in its entirety as opposed to just, you know, the edited clip.
Yeah.
So all right. And like I said before, I'm very excited about the Pasadena Daydream Festival, and The Cure is going to headline, and they're playing alongside.
They play that 311 song, right?
No. 311 did a horrible cover of Love Song. Oh my God, it's embarrassing. But yeah, they headline Weenie Rose 95, and I remember they played for hours.
Is that the one where everyone left and everyone, they're like, why are we playing?
They're still playing. Yeah. There's like, they played for like 2 hours, and this is after a long ass day of like, you know, 10 bands.
And Fatboy Slim is playing in the courtyard or the courtyard, little yard. Yeah.
Remember when Weenie Rose were good? but this is the interview. Kevin Bean got a chance to sit down with the great Robert Smith in 1995. We're just going to drop this in.
Drop it.
It's Kevin and Bean live at the 5th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast in Luau. We are backstage in the dressing room with Robert Smith of The Cure. Robert, good evening.
Good evening.
First of all, let us thank you from the bottom of the hearts of all the K-Rock listeners for doing the show this year. It was such a surprise and such a treat to have you headlining this year.
It was a surprise for me as well.
When exactly did you find out?
About 3.5 weeks ago, I got a call saying, would we do it? And
what made you say yes?
I don't know, really, looking back. I said yes, and then 2 days later I thought, why? Two reasons, really. One was that we haven't done anything for about 6 months, and we're going to go in the studio soon and do some new songs, and I wanted us just to play in front of people to remember what it's like to be in a group. And the second reason was just that it was a good idea of fun.
Now, it's a we know that you don't fly. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I walked here.
You walk here.
So when you when you're sitting in, you know, in London, and you say, "Hey, I'll go to Los Angeles," that is really more of a major undertaking for you than it would be for most people. It takes a long time to get here, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I walk really fast.
Well, that's good.
Do you know anyone that likes flying? Oh, actually, I do. Roger likes flying. He flies. I mean, he's a pilot. It's insane. I mean, I've flown for years and years. The reason that all this stuff about me hating flying came about was because I reached a point where we did a tour of America in, I think, 1987, and we flew everywhere, and I didn't see anything. All I saw was airports and hotels, taxis, minibuses. Drove me insane. So I decided that I would have like a 5-year period where I would not get on a plane, and we did everything by train and bus, and it was excellent.
It's funny because the rumor obviously is that you're afraid of flying. You don't want to fly, you're afraid of it.
Well, it doesn't bother me in the slightest, fine.
Well, to be honest. This is a scoop. This is interesting. We did not know this.
I mean, I'd rather walk than fly, but I've never not got on a plane, you know. I mean, it's a pretty dumb thing to do, really.
Let me ask you this, because the band that we're going to see tonight is going to have a new drummer from the last time your fans in California saw you.
Band?
I believe, isn't Jason the new drummer?
Yeah, he was here last time.
Well, were you really?
Yeah.
Jason, we take it all back then. That's what it was. Frankly,
he looked 15 years younger last year.
Is this rumor true that he really did answer an ad in the paper to join the band?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how we... we kind of ran out of people that we knew. The Cure has always like been very incestuous, and like we've always lost people and got them back again, or someone's cousin. But Boris had been drumming with us for quite a long time, and really I wanted someone who was of a like mind, and who had a kind of drive, and I didn't know anyone that fitted the bill. So
you thought, well, I know, Classified in the newspaper.
A very, very specially coded advert in the music papers, and Jason was the only one that got the answers right.
What do you make of the bill coming all this way from England and having over half the groups on the bill being British? It seems to be the state of pop with Blur and Oasis and Chemical Brothers and
Radiohead. It's I don't really feel like that. I suppose I should, and I'd be jingoistic and kind of like hype it up. But what we've always done has been to like to play around the world ever since we first started. You know? So I don't really feel like an English group. I think what we've done, the reason why we've kind of done well, I suppose, or we've been popular around the world, is because I don't have that notion of an Englishness. It's like what we sing about, how we play, isn't English. You know, I mean, there are certain bands that are very English, which is a good thing. You know, it's kind of like it's a sort of definitive thing. I mean, I suppose Blur and Oasis, because of all the hype that's been around them with the Britpop thing. But The Cure have never really been into, you know, a British scene full stop.
It would be pretty amazing if you guys got into some kind of a big rivalry fight with another band. No one would ever expect that.
It wouldn't happen. It's like there are probably two bands in the whole world that I hate. That's it.
Who are they?
I'm not going to tell you.
You have to tell us, Robert. Wait a minute. Two bands in the whole world that Robert Smith hates. Who are they?
I'm not going to tell you. No, it's pointless.
Give us some a hint.
All right, then. I love everyone.
Okay. All right. Can I guess, though? Is it the Pointer Sisters?
You're so close.
Hey, you have fans that go back with you probably, what has it been, you know, 15, 16, 18 years, something like that. Do quivering, blubbering fans come up to you still to this day on the street? And
on
just
the stage.
On the stage. Because we'd like to have one come up to you right now. Lisa, come on over here, would you? Come on. You've never had the opportunity to ask Robert a question. Lisa is the music director of K-Rock. Biggest fan ever. Lisa, do you have a question? Lisa, what's the question you've always wanted to ask Robert Smith?
Yes, she's doing it.
Oh, she's very embarrassed. Is that the reaction you get, Robert?
She already asked you yes, though. And it was no. It was honestly.
The answer was no. You had to break her heart.
Yeah.
Robert, you got fans that go back a long time.
That's very cruel.
Well, that's
a really cruel trick. Come on.
That's my friend Bean. I'm sorry for it. I apologize. You do, though, have fans. I mean, we heard from people that email from all over the country. I mean, you know, people in Ohio and people in New York that are trying to figure out a way to get here to see The Cure. Is that... Yeah. Typical of a Cure fan?
Well, it was weird, actually. Two things happened yesterday. One was that we were reminded that we did an in-store. I think the only in-store we did on the last tour was in San Jose. And it had a really big impact on the group, because you kind of, like, you met people who had travelled, you know, 500 miles to see us play a concert. And we went on stage that night, and it was one of the best shows that we've ever done, full stop. Because we'd kind of seen the look in people's faces of like what we meant to them, and it's very easy to kind of to forget that, you know, and sometimes you have to forget it, because otherwise it would drive you mad. If I really thought we were that important, I would become insane very quickly. The second thing was that actually, like, going on stage on a bill with other bands, there's a competitive kind of undercurrent which doesn't usually happen. You know, if you're playing your own show and people are there to see The Cure, you're not proving anything. You just we go and we play for 3 hours and we just like have fun.
Everybody's there to see you.
Yeah. Specifically. Yesterday night, we're like, I wanted us to be the best band on. I can't figure out why. And tonight's the same. I want people to go away from here thinking The Cure were the best band on. You know? And if they don't, it doesn't matter. I mean, most people probably won't. But I want to go away thinking The Cure were the best band on.
Let me just say, on behalf of everybody at K-Rock and all the fans in Southern California and everything, thanks a bunch for coming out and doing this, because we really do appreciate it. It means a lot to us.
Well, obviously the reason why we're doing it is because K-Rock was one of the first stations that started playing The Cure a long, long time ago, and did make a big difference. And has made, not just to us, but made a difference in the early days, because no one else was playing us.
Great to talk to you, Robert. Have a terrific show with the band tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
All right, man. So if you get a hot babysitter, and you get to go to the Daydream Festival, are you going to bring out the eyeliner and the gloves and all the black?
No.
Come on.
No.
You have to.
That look is retired, man.
Goth Omar needs to come out.
That look is retired, man. And not that I regret it. It was a phase in my life, you know, but I look back at some photos. I'm like, wow, really?
Listen, if Robert Smith can do it, so can you.
So I think this is from the same Wienerose. STP wasn't playing, but Scott Weiland just happened to be there hanging out backstage. And Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel had microphones, and they interview Scott Weiland. And let's go through this. This is not that long. It's about 2.5 minutes, but it's weird.
Okay.
All right, Jimmy and Mr. Burcham here with Scott Weiland, of course, the Stone Temple Pilots. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Now, you guys played last year, and you're just here hanging out tonight, huh?
Yeah, we just came to see a few bands that I haven't seen before.
Who are you into seeing tonight?
Foo Fighters, Sonic Youth, Porno for Pyros, Presidents of the United States.
Did you hear the...
Again, do you remember when Weenie Roast were good?
That was a damn good lineup.
Did you hear the Commodores are reforming tonight? They're going to do a special show.
Quit goofing off. I got a serious question. I seen the way the chicks are amassed around you.
I've seen my wife and my publicist.
Yeah, I make $28K a year and get nothing. Let me ask you something. You guys need like an extra musician. Like, remember the Partridge Family when Tracy just stood there like a mannequin and played the tambourine?
We're looking for good skin flautists, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, I've been doing that for free for 30 years.
Now you're going to hold auditions for that or what?
Yeah, you know, in a sanitized glass room.
Now, will we have to wear gloves or can we go au naturel?
Well, as long as we stand behind the glass, it doesn't matter to me.
It'll be like a Gallagher concert in there.
Yeah, no kidding. Bring your umbrellas, people. So how's everything going otherwise?
It's going great. We just finished the STP record about a week ago, and it's going to be out late March.
All right.
So looking forward to that.
What's that one called?
We don't have a name yet. We're kind of throwing certain things.
Can we name it?
Yeah.
Maybe a tribute to Jimmy and Mr. Burcham.
Yes.
How to ejaculation in the glass underworld.
Either one. Yeah, either one would work. Either one would be a tribute to Jimmy and Mr. Burcham.
And it would come with a wet nap instead of liners.
Yes. Excellent thinking. All right, well, you think about that. And, you know, we'll talk to your record weasel, see if we can work it out.
All right.
And there's no charge for that idea either. That's free to you.
Certainly.
All right, have a good night.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take it easy.
Take care.
Another artist... putting up with people's shenanigans just to get their information out.
Jimmy's accent.
Oh, he used to put it on thick, man.
Hey,
I'm from New York, you know. Exactly. It was Maniscalco or whatever that dude's name is. So that's crazy, right?
Oh my God, poor Scott.
There's no way that would happen today, right?
I don't know, man. It depends on who it is.
Yeah.
You know, if they have a relationship, they can do it. But,
I guess.
But not just ambush someone like that.
But Scott Weiland, at that point in his career, he was big.
I don't know what album he was working on.
Oh, man.
Foo Fighters, that was 95, you said?
Yeah, around 95, yeah.
So that was just after Core, so it was probably just Purple. Yeah.
Jesus, which is a great album. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some Best of Bean. Bean. All right, we're just going to drop this in. But once upon a time, Bean almost died in Norway, so please enjoy.
Drop in.
I want Bean to tell you the story because this really doesn't happen very often to people in their lifetime.
No.
Really came inches from certain death.
And
while in Norway on vacation last week.
That is correct. And it's not one of those things where you think, wow, if things had gone a little differently, I would have died. I mean, this is a situation where there was a better than average chance that I would literally be killed. Not hurt.
Way better.
Not hurt. Yeah. Killed.
About a 97% chance that he was going to be demolished and a 3% chance that what happened.
Exactly.
That you slipped away.
I'm in Norway, a vision from the Lord, and went to Norway. And I thought, and in the 2 seconds that I had before I obviously missed certain death, it did occur to me, this is not funny, Lord. If your mission was to send me to Norway to kill me.
That was my first thought. I called back during vacation. They said, Bean has a story about almost dying. And I thought, well, God's just calling him a little closer so we can take him on home.
Right. So I'm in Norway, and I'm driving around, and I'm having a great time. It's too cold, and they speak too much damn Norwegian for my taste. But I'm driving around, and I'm going, hey, this place is pretty cool. And I'm having a good time, and I'm seeing the sights, and I'm on vacation, and it's been a long time coming, and I'm feeling good. And through my mind, the words... I own this town, go. You know what it's like? You stake out a new territory and you fit like a glove. I knew the city. I knew how to go back to a museum if I wanted or back to the hotel if I wanted. I knew where the 7-Elevens were. So the words that are going through my mind are, I own this town. I am Norway is what I'm thinking.
Right.
I take a right-hand turn to get onto the freeway to go back to the hotel. And I realize as I make the turn that something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. This is not the expressway to the freeway. Friends, I am now on a train track with a train coming at me.
And you're talking, how far was the train away?
I'm talking here to the kitchen. I'm talking 50 feet.
Full speed? I mean,
full
going?
Speed. This is not a train that was slowing down to pull into a station.
Now, tell me about the left and the right of the tracks.
Cement.
Cement walls?
Cement walls.
On both sides?
Yes. I have turned essentially down a tunnel is what I have done. The old joke is the light at the end of the tunnel is usually an oncoming train.
That's what it was.
That is exactly what was happening. 50 feet away, full speed, no intention of slowing down.
The trains can't stop that quick anyway.
There's no way he could have done it. He's paying attention. He's fast enough to lean on his horn. Is the last noise I hear
before I die.
What was the amount of time? What did you do first? What was your first thing?
Crapped.
Okay, second.
Okay. Well,
I went, damn, I crapped.
Obviously, you explore your options in fast.
So you're going at the train, yeah. Closing the gap.
And it's not like, if you can picture this, there's walls on either side, and it's not like there's 10 feet on either side of the railroad track that I can comfortably drive alongside the train. I mean, it's not a road. It's
right.
A train track.
Right.
Not meant for cars.
How big was your car?
I am telling you that if you rent a car, make sure it's a Volkswagen. That's what I'm telling you. A Volkswagen Golf was the car that I was driving.
They are like 3 feet across.
Yeah.
Two and a half feet across.
Like it's like driving a little a Honda CBCC or something.
And
you know?
Didn't do it on purpose.
No, it's just what I got because they're cheaper. Yeah. So I'm crammed into this Volkswagen, and I've got a train coming full on. And obviously, you know, as fast as you can, what can I do? I can't back up and get out of this. There's
right.
no way. By the time I get it in reverse and back up, I'm dead. And I can't go forward. What do I do? So the only option I had left was to pull hard right as far as I could over against the cement wall to the point where my rearview mirror on the right-hand side, on the passenger side, was actually scraping up against the cement and just brace myself for the train to approach. All I could do was hope that it was going to miss me. At this point, I'm hoping that it misses me.
Stuff like this happens to me all the time. It's weird.
It's like turning around. You're at a baseball game. You turn around. You realize the ball is coming right at you. You have time to do nothing except hope it doesn't hit you.
Right.
No wonder you never leave the house. Like a menace.
Now it all makes sense.
I don't know what was happening. And the train went by me and didn't touch my car, but was within 10 inches of the side of my car. I mean, I looked out my window.
And it was probably going 30 or 40 miles
an
hour.
Oh, it was right? just humming. Horn still going.
Wow.
Train went on by. 8 or 10 cars. I'm thinking... It would be a crappy start to a vacation to get hit by a train and killed.
If one of the rear train things had anything sticking off of it.
I was carrying lumber or something like that. You're right. It would have hit me.
Let me ask, when you actually dump in a rental car, do they keep the security deposit? How does that work?
That was an expression more than anything. Yeah.
Did you scrape it up a little bit? Did you have to take it back and say, look, I almost got hit by a train?
No, you know, because it's that cheap kind of polyurethane on the outside. It wasn't like paint that scratches. It's more of a hard plastic type thing. So it was okay.
So you didn't tell them?
I didn't tell them. Parking ticket 4 days later didn't tell about that either. I understand they will find out about it.
Yeah, they will.
So the bottom line is you go to Norway, you take your chances.
If you had a bigger car, you would literally have just been killed.
Yeah.
We would have never heard from you again.
And you know, if you think back, and of course everything goes in slow motion, you feel like you have a lot of time because you can't believe it's happening. Everything is crystal clear. You're very sharp at that moment. You were
right.
stupid to do what you did, but you're sharp at the moment that the train is approaching.
Because you have to be, right?
And no. But the one thought I had is the first thing they're going to look for is ID, and my passport is in my front pocket, and they're going to pull it out, and they're going to go, hey, here's an American. I guess we're going to have to figure out a way to call his family back home, you know?
Wow,
I mean, I actually
weird.
Was visualizing them lifting me out of
Madonna
there.
Wow. Madonna would have been happy.
Most
people
see their life before their eyes. You were looking at your death.
But it would have been a crappy vacation, and as it turned out, I lived and got to see quite a bit of Norway.
And now you're back to taunt us all.
All right, good sesh.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Keep those afros coming in.
Coming in.
323-AF... Nope. I can't get it right, Dave. 323-520-AFRO. And if you guys have a spot for us to record our 100th episode, we're definitely open to any ideas.
Yeah, and also, if you have suggestions for try things, there's a couple of things that we need to try.
Yeah, totally.
The B-Team. Yeah! The B-Team. The B-Team.
Oh, that's right.
The B-Team.
Baby!
All right. Let's get into it.
We're not going to try Balut, though. That's.
I've already tried that.
You did?
Oh, yeah, I've tried it. I had a phase in my life where most of my friends were Filipinos.
Yeah.
They were Filipino. And I was working at Denny's overnight, and I would hang out with them, and we'd eat at all kinds of weird restaurants around town.
And Balut. You had Balut,
Yeah, I had Balut. Had this stuff called Dinim Guam.
Is that the blood milk?
Yep. That's it. Yeah, it's black. Oh. It's black with rice, and yeah, dude, it's good. Yeah.
We might have to do a seltzer challenge.
Oh, I don't know what that is, but
with the White Claw, the Natural Light. And
I hear it's awful, that White Claw.
White Claw's not good.
Yeah,
but which one is the worst? Then I guess we should try.
Oh,
yeah.
That's funny. I'm down. Okay, watch. Just you're not going to believe this. I don't know. Maybe you've heard it, but it blew my mind.
In the gentle tradition of Donovan and Dylan, we have an American troubadour, Rodney Bigenheimer.
Oh, teenage woman, come live with me in my dirty room behind the ranch market. Let me show you off to all my friends on the Sunset Strip. don't flirt with any other long-haired boys. I'm the prettiest little boy in the whole wide world.
Ew.
It took me 2.5 hours to wash and dry my beautiful fluffy hair. For you, my teenage princess, living in your teenage dream, let me be your teenage everything.
It gets better. It gets better.
I'll be yours tonight, like a buccaneer of love.
A buccaneer of love.
You'll be my turtle dove of sweetness. I'll be your stallion. We'll go romp together in our teenage meadows of infinity. Dear sweet meat,
ew,
my teddy bear of ecstasy, come share
no,
my laundry.
No.
In visions of the universe, be my teenage woman. To me, my teenage love goddess. Woof, woof,
oh,
I love you. Woof, woof, I want you. Woof, woof, please be mine. Oh, woof, woof.
No.
Oh, teenage woman.
Here it comes.
Oh, teenage woman.
No.
Oh, teenage
no,
woman.
No.
Oh, teenage.
No.
Teenage woman. Oh, teenage woman. I love you.
You're welcome. That's what, like, nightmares are made of right
dude.
There,
dude. So he's going to babysit your kids?
No!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.